And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Cedar bark roses are a traditional First Nations craft in the Pacific Northwest, including for Tlingit people. Soaked strips of cedar bark are folded into golden roses, which dry stiff and light. As part of a community reporting project on wellness, Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra talked to Frank Hughes in Cake, a village in southeast Alaska. He and his wife have made thousands of roses over the years, and he's discovered that, for him, they have a unique healing power.
My name is Frank Hughes. I'm retired. I'm Tlingit and Aleut, Eagle Clan, Killerwhale, Dakoidi. I've been here in Cake since May of 1986. I served in the Army in 1975 to 1983. I'm a disabled veteran, service-connected hearing loss, ringing in my ears. That's constant. It don't go away. And it bothers me sometimes because I'm hearing it all the time. And it affects who I am because I struggle with hearing. People are talking to me and I can't hear it, what they're trying to say, especially if they're behind me. We harvest the bark off the tree. There's red cedar and yellow cedar. We use what's available. Usually the wife gets the good stuff and I get the leftover stuff. And I think that's just my nature. But I make stuff out of it. Probably 2010, the wife and I were making roses. We're going to sell them to the tourists just to keep us busy. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting in my chair. I can oversee the water. And then as I started making the rose, I started saying, there it goes. I said something to that effect. It's gone. And she said, what? I said, the ringing in my ears. It stopped. And then I started picking it back up again. And I said to myself, I'm saying this. This is nice. This is really nice. So I set it down, pick up another one like that. And all of a sudden, you know, I got a pile like 20. I said, I never felt this good in a long time. It makes me feel good. When I'm making the rose, it's the only relief I get. And I tell my wife, I said, when I'm making these roses, you know, don't bother me. Don't ask me anything like that. Only if it's an emergency, you know, the house is on fire, there's earthquake coming, a tidal wave. Like I said, you could bother me then. But other than that, you know, it's only 2 minutes and, you know, anything else can wait. So it's one of the things that, again, the only relief I get, that nobody else can see it, nobody else hears it, but we can talk about it. But I'm the only one that for 2 minutes, just don't bother me.
That was Frank Hughes with the Organized Village of Cake, Alaska. He told his doctors about his experience, and they said, if it works, keep doing it. But they can't explain it. This interview is part of a grant-funded collaborative community reporting project that's focused on health and wellness in rural Alaska. Find out more about the project and its ethical practices on the web version of the story at alaskapublic.org. Juneau's Planning Commission has approved a conditional use permit for a new cruise ship dock. As the commission prepares to make major decisions about the future of the waterfront, city leaders hope to get more public input. KTOO's Katie Anastas has more.
Just 3 members of the public spoke at a Juneau Planning Commission meeting on July 11th. All 3 were in favor of Huna Totem Corporation's proposal for the Juneau subport, which includes a cruise ship dock, underground parking, and retail space. Assemblymember Christine Wall spoke about it at a meeting Monday night.
Several of the commissioners, as well as myself, were shocked by how few members of the public were at the Planning Commission meeting about this topic that I know many people care deeply about.
Huna Totem Corporation is calling the project Auk Landing. Norwegian Cruise Lines purchased the property in 2019 and gave it to the Alaska Native Village Corporation last August. Chief Operating Officer Fred Parody spoke to the Planning Commission.
Auk Landing adds to the Seawalk. It reduces congestion downtown. It fits within the 5-ship limit. It accommodates shoreside power and is designed for year-round operation.
The commission approved the part of the application related to the dock. But several commissioners, like Mandy Cole, wanted more details on the other proposed amenities before making a decision on the rest of the project.
I have a lot of faith in the developers and the designers that they will come back with a finished product that will balance the needs of this community and the needs of Huntington and serve all of those goals. I just don't think that's what we have in front of us quite yet.
One question Cole had was whether housing should be a required part of the project.
Have you considered that housing is actually a critical piece of building out further tourism infrastructure?
Jill McLean, the city's director of community development, said housing at Auk Landing would likely not meet Juneau's need for affordable options.
While I know housing is a crisis and we desperately need it, and I know, you know, this likely is not to be workforce or affordable housing in this location. It will likely be high-end waterfront property.
Architect Corey Wall said there's still a lot of design work to be done.
We know that we're nowhere near ready to get a building permit. We think we have probably a 12 or 18 month design process in front of us.
If the Planning Commission approves the permits, it will be up to the Juneau Assembly whether to lease the city-owned tidelands to Huntington. The commission will vote on the rest of Huntington's proposal on Tuesday, August 8th. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
A Juneau lunchtime staple closed for good on Monday after 45 years in business. As regulars lined up to place their last orders at J&J Deli and Asian Mart, the lunch rush turned into a celebration of high school memories and one woman's love for her community.
I got 7 here with tomato, mustard, lettuce, pickled onion, paprika, and jalapeno on it.
On Monday afternoon, a crowd formed around the counter at Juneau's J&J Deli and Asian Mart. George Montero Jr. stood by the door, waiting on his order. For him, it wasn't a normal lunch break. It was the end of an era.
43 years of being a customer.
The Juneau staple's last day in business drew a nostalgia-fueled lunch rush. Montero said the place has remained much the same since his time as a high school student down the road.
I'd grab my Bubblicious bubblegum from right over here, walk around, grab my Coca-Cola, grab my corn chips, order my sandwich, and then be out the door with all the other teenagers that were in here.
By Monday, the shelves were picked over. There was no Bubblicious or Coca-Cola left, but owners Neil and Alma Dugan served up sandwiches all day long.
We went up until we started running out of food.
The Dugans ran the store for more than a decade, with Alma manning the counter solo most days. The couple made the decision to shut down this year in order to focus on Alma's health.
It's not a relief, but it's... For me, a sad thing too, and a happy.
They've been searching for a new owner for several years now, but the pandemic deterred some potential buyers. And up until now, they were committed to finding someone who would preserve the deli counter. They had to give up on that. It's not yet clear what the new owners have planned for the place, but they will put an end to the classic sandwiches. And that will be the first significant menu change since the shop's original owners, Jack and Susan Woods, introduced their sandwiches back in 1978. The Woods sold the shop to the Dugans about 13 years ago.
Susan wouldn't just sell to anybody. Mm-hmm. You had to come in and work with her. And once she was happy with you, then she'd say, okay. So her and Alma hit it off pretty good, and we ended up with the store.
They kept the sandwich menu, and shortly after, they started stocking Asian groceries, too. For Alma, their last day was a reminder of her longstanding commitment to the community.
Some of the old folks here, too, they stopped by to give me some cards and flowers. That's, you know, they're just saying goodbye. I mean, not goodbye, but what? How you say that? Sorry. I'm stuck crying.
Enjoy your retirement.
Yeah, that's how they put it. That way.
The deli counter has been a popular lunch spot for Juneau's high schoolers since it opened. According to her husband, losing her connection with those students is perhaps the biggest loss for Alma.
Alma recognizes them even when they're out of high school, they come back from college, and I'm looking at, who's that? So she becomes like their mother at times. I think that's mainly the biggest thing that kept her going was the kids.
As the kids grow up, their appearances may change, but their sandwich orders usually don't. Many of Monday's customers were waiting on their go-to orders.
Number 2 with lettuce, mayonnaise, and mustard.
A number 6 with pepper jack, the works, and pickles.
Number 1, pepper jack instead of the Munster, the works.
It's always been a number 8, dark, the works, roast beef.
That's Montero again. He says he'll find a new place for lunch, but it won't be the same.
They got plenty of stuff, but they do not have this sandwich.
The new business will take over the spot in September. Until then, Alma said she plans to sell the remaining grocery stock to her regular customers on a case-by-case basis. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.